because of travel offer me a unique opportunity. I can connect with the world, connect with the people. So that is why I hope my company and my team, we can offer an affordable travel opportunity to the world. We can help more and more people enjoy the world, enjoy the peace.
Welcome to the Payments Powerhouses podcast, where we discuss current trends with the movers and shakers in the fintech industry. Brought to you by 2C2P, your trusted payment solutions provider in Asia and beyond.
Hello, everyone. I'm Suhan, your host for Payments Powerhouses. Our guest for today is Mary Lee, founder and CEO at Atlas. Hi, Mary. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Suhan. Thank you.
I understand that Atlas is your third startup and you have an amazing track record as an entrepreneur. Could you start off by sharing with our listeners what were your first two startups?
Okay, so my first startup called Wing On Travel. It's a pure travel agency. And the second startup called Aslan. It's a data processing company, also part of technology, focused on travel industry, especially international flights data.
So you have quite a passion or focus related to travel in all your startups. What is the inspiration or what's the story there? Why travel?
First, I would like to share Aslan and Atlas, the two names really came from my daughter. So when she was a young girl and she picked up the name Aslan, she hoped like mom could be a hero, superhero who can save the world. So the third company, Atlas, also came from her. So we visited the National Gallery together and she hoped mom can see the world from her eyes. So the Atlas means the collection of the map. So that's the company's name. Why I'm passionate, especially obsessed in travel industry, to be honest, before I went into travel industry, this is just a job because it's any job you can pick up and data processing. Even I was really frustrated in this kind of job. But after like 10 years without traveling, I could not sit in here today. That's true. And most of my Chinese friends, similar age like me, they retired. They started to play a grandmom's role. But I feel I'm so young. I'm still so beautiful.
Yep.
So because of travel offer me a unique opportunity, I can connect with the world, connect with the people. So that is why until today, I hope my company and my team, we can offer an affordable travel opportunity to the world. We can help more and more people travel like me. They can travel like you and to enjoy the world, to enjoy the peace.
Great. So I think for the benefit of our listeners who may not be that familiar with Atlas, maybe you could tell us more about what is Atlas, what is your solution offerings?
So Atlas is working on travel industry. It's a huge, big content. So travel industry, there is flights, accommodation, activities. We specifically working on flights. So flights, there are two parts of flights. We define them according to their distribution channel. So we define them as traditional airlines. They distribute their content through global distribution systems, similar like Singapore Airlines. Another group of airlines, we call them low-cost carriers or budget airlines. They distribute by themselves. So Atlas works on low-cost carriers, or we call it budget airlines, and we help them, we support them. We integrate their contents, services, and price, all those inventories, and into one simple API that we distribute that API globally to all the agencies, include online travel agencies, offline travel agencies. I really, really want low-cost carriers, affordable air tickets and budget airlines can be seen and can be purchased by the world.
So before Atlas, there wasn't a solution like that for the low-cost carrier. Were there any similar platform?
There were. So let's look at why low-cost carriers pick up their own distribution channel, because traditional GDS charge big. Let's see from Bangkok to Phuket. If we take Thai line, It might cost us $40 as a single way, but you have to pay traditional distribution channel at least $5, $10. It's a big cost. So that is one of the reasons low-cost carriers pick up their own distribution channel. Another thing is traditional airlines, when they sell a package to the passengers. So when you have Singapore Airlines, most of the passengers, they don't realize they buy not only a air ticket, a seat, they buy entertainments, they buy movies, they buy games, they buy musics, they buy a glass of wine, they buy smiling face, they buy everything. They have to pay everything. But so far, the new generation, they just don't want people force them to buy something. They want to personalize what I want to buy because I have my iPad, I have my iPod. I can listen, I can watch whatever I want. I want to have a sleep. I just want simple. So that's another part of the reason. So low-cost carriers distribute content by themselves. So because of the two reasons, there are two distribution channels in the flights industry. And it happened quite recently. There are not so many players in this industry. When I talk about the benefits from low-cost carriers, they can help passengers to save cost, to help passengers personalization. But another side, it's difficult for them to distribute, but it's difficult for a Chinese person to understand Thai. It's also difficult for a Singaporean to purchase some ticket in South America. So that becomes a challenge. That's one thing, traffic acquisition and attract passengers. Another thing is payment, because the people in the country, they can pay by themselves, by wallet, by credit card. And there are so many fraud global wide. So good side, bad side.
So the platform basically supports any airlines from any country globally, not just restricted to a region.
Yeah, we so far until today, we have already integrated 190 airlines. And another thing is almost 50% air capacity are driven by low-cost carriers. And people just don't realize, oh my God, I don't sell low-cost carriers. I might miss 50% of the world.
So how many, I guess, travel agencies are benefiting from the solution right now? How do you convince them to get on board?
Yeah, that's a really big question. So far, Atlas is quite young. We started 2019, just before COVID. It was sad, right? We just started up the company. We had a good volume, but suddenly COVID happened, especially from China. Then we have to switch off our distribution channel. We have to observe what happened at that time. So we started to switch on our API and expand our market only last year, August. So far, quite young, only 1 year and 2 month company. So we really built a very good reputation in Europe and the Middle East area market, and more online travel agency reach out to us. They wanted to work with us.
Yeah. And so what is Atrip? Is Atrip the name of your platform?
So Atrip is a really interesting platform. So last year, when we started to work with agency clients, I can see engineers, our product teams communicate through emails, and it really, really kind of less efficient. So that's one reason. So I wanted to build something and it can make our API, make our products, especially make our capability visualized by agency clients. They don't need to spend so much time for emails. That's one reason. Another reason, I have to say, I'm always a very confident person. So I don't mind to show my capability in front of the world. I don't mind people copy. If my company, my team's product, it's so easy to be copied. Then there's not something so strong. So I told my team, let's visualize our API. Let's show everything we have. If we can enable those agencies through their API implementation, through what kind of pinpoints they have, through the data we integrate, we implement, they can get benefits from us. They can see transparently how many airlines we do have, which part we are good, which part we are not good. Then it's easy for them to make choice. So that's the beginning initiation for Atrip.
I see. And I guess, like you said, because it's open as well, if anyone can get inspired from that, it only force you to improve on it and be better as well.
I 100% believe that.
So it's interesting you mentioned pandemic. Have you seen any shift before COVID and after the pandemic as well in terms of the travel behavior, the travel business? Like any key trends or shift that you've seen emerging from this?
So first, most of the people were a little disappointed about the Asia-Pacific region. So Asia-Pacific region, until today, is still 40% behind of before COVID. Why? All of us know the reason, because China still closed the border. China has more than 22% of the market share, especially in ASEAN region. That's one reason. Another reason, let's look at flights. So flights and airlines suffer a lot during COVID and reduce the schedule, the fuel price. So airlines become really cautious to recover the schedule of the flights. That flight price becomes really high. Yeah. Today, everybody said, I want to travel, but it's so expensive, right? And another thing we can see, that Europe started to recover from March, and Europe shows so strong resilience. So American followed, MENA followed, but for Asia-Pacific region, each of the country has their restrictions, fragmented regulations, and people feel cautious to travel in Asia.
So what do you think can be done, or what's the outlook like? Are we just waiting for China to open up, or what can the business do in the meantime?
I think even there are some good news this week and the last week about China. China started to reduce the test, reduce the quarantine days. But whatever, I really believe everything has two sides. Yeah. So there is also an opportunity for most of the country to look at domestic market. Not so much waiting or predicting inbound tourists. Mm-hmm. Let's look at domestic markets. How can we develop some products for domestic people? That's what I can see.
Have you seen any interesting domestic campaigns or programs that's been set up?
I can see even flights number is always a very sensitive data. Mm. So when people ask about the whole global economy recover, we always look at all those flights schedule. So because flights means hotels, accommodations means the activities. But from last year, we can see more actively domestic flights in Indonesia, Korea, and Japan, include Thailand, Vietnam. Even when I came back from Chiang Mai, and Chiang Mai started to promote more for Thai people to travel in Chiang Mai. When I was in Siem Reap, I can see Siem Reap also started to promote for Cambodia people. Yeah, that's good.
So in a way, because of this, it also changes how travelers behave. You are forced to, I guess, travel more domestically to experience your own marketplace and region. There's some goodness out of that as well, as the market evolve.
That's true.
So I want to talk about strategic partnerships, right? So during the pandemic, most travel companies typically went into survival mode. But now that recovery is slowly back on trend, what are some of the lessons travel and tourism business can learn from leaner times? What are your thoughts on this?
So travel industry, sometimes it's very advanced technology industry. Sometimes it's also very traditional industry. And most of the people, they like to build by themselves, especially big company, big corporates. They believe they can build everything in-house. But for me, I always think about what I'm good at, what I'm not good at. So for those part we are not good at, we look for coordinate with the partners like 2C2P for payments part. And for payments parts, for service part, all those relevant to flights industry, I strongly believe everybody has limited time, limited resources. Why not focus on the part you are good at? Why not give the opportunity to other people, other company, let them work on their parts? When 2019, I met some of my friends. They were always curious, ask me a question. I said, Mary, why you are so lucky? I said, I don't know. And we were still struggling to build our company. I said, I think because I really think I'm not so smart, so I focus. So I focus on one thing. I just do one thing. My team just do one thing. That's all.
So it's not luck, it's because of focus and a lot of hard work as well, right?
Be aware of who I am and be aware of the position of my company.
Play to your strengths, right? Know who you are. In terms of travel technology, where do you see the challenges today in terms of travel technology and what are some of the innovations you hope to see?
Yeah, I think two parts I would like to share. The first part is when we talk about the global localization, so what does mean localization? What does mean global? So normally most of the travel technology, we're supposed to use a simple answer, universal API to fix everywhere. But from my experience, every country, every agency, they have different kind of request, different kind of demanding, even same word in different country. When we talk about segment, when we talk about instant ticketing, such kind of simple word, they have different definition. So that is what I'm thinking. How could Atlas build something openly sharing with the global developers, global operators? They really can share their localization experience, their localization knowledge with us. Make simple universal API become a real localization API. That's one challenge. Another thing, let's talk about the payments part. I know 2C2P has been 20 years established company for payments part. But payments part, it's very, very pinpoint for flight sector. How can we acquire instantly, make sure that acquiring not so much fraud, and how can we pay, how can we manage the FX? That's another big innovation sector. But so far, I haven't seen that happen.
Do you think we're going to solve that in 5 years or it will take some time?
There are lots of ego, lots of entrepreneurs, lots of companies already believe they are the best. They can do everything. So that's something.
I guess that's a common trend. I mean, regardless of the industry as well, when you're big enough, you can take on the ecosystem. So I want to talk about the future of travel. Do you see traveling evolve to include, I guess, VR or metaverse experience as well? Like, what are your thoughts around that?
So travel includes two parts. One part is like we call it high touch. So high touch means when you go to the hotel, you really expect someone come to you. You hope you could have a hug, you could smile. I think like a travel industry really needs big percentage of human beings connection. Otherwise, why we travel? But for another part, how can we maintain those unique knowledge to different kind of languages? When I was in Cairo, Egypt, when I was in a museum, I really want to go to the story, go to the history, go to the 1,000 years ago. I can lie down with the Egyptian pharaoh. I could understand how he felt at the moment. But that part which can bring us back to 1,000 years ago, that's AR's job, that's metaverse job.
Yeah, I think that's where you can bring technology to infuse and enhance your travel experience, right?
I think metaverse AR can really, really help our human being from instant moment to go back to 100,000 years history to empathize what happened from that moment. And you know, human being always need to learn from history. If we learn from history, we might avoid lots of mistakes. Agree?
Sometimes, but history do repeat itself.
That's true.
So with workations and hybrid working styles considered a new normal, right? And you having stayed and worked in many different countries, China, India, and Singapore, what insights can you share in terms of leading diverse global teams?
Yeah, a lot of people ask me when I shared I have 2 years working experience in India, they ask me how you survive. In fact, not only survive, I really, really love Indian. That's one thing. Another thing is people always ask me, Mary, could you pick up a country, a place you traveled, you love? I can't because I really, really love everywhere. With all this diversity, you can't know your limitation. Atlas is a global company. So global companies really means we have inclusive culture. Inclusive culture means we accept different kind of culture, different kind of people. How could you accept? You have to learn. You have to be with those people. So that make Atlas team very diversity.
But you have different teams working in different countries. So how do you keep them in one direction?
Yeah, that's really something. So for me as a CEO, as a founder of the company, most of time I spend with people. I'm not the hero. It's not me. I always tell everybody, it's really not me. I have so wonderful team. It's them to make the company becoming today. It's really them. My job is to talk to people, listen to people, and work with the people. Listen to them, sharing my vision, sharing the strategy according to different kind of position and different kind of culture background. Make the company strategy simple to every person. That is why normally I get up at 6 a.m. I start to have a meeting 7 a.m. with the New Zealand team. I go to bed a little bit late to talk to European team. But I really, really care. I care whether they're happy. Everybody, they can text me. So I told them, you don't need to worry about me. You don't need to worry about 2 a.m., 3 a.m. You text me. I'm adult. I can manage me, but you just make yourself comfortable. So when my team text me in certain time, when they feel frustrated, they were kind of emotional, whatever, I will call them quickly and say, what happened? Why? And listen to them. I always believe I'm nobody. I'm just a very, very, very normal Chinese middle-aged woman.
That's not true.
So it's not me. It's my team. They are heroes. My entire job, my entire responsibility, just build a stage and put all my teams on the stage shining. That's my job.
That's really inspiring. And I guess I would like to know, so for all the emerging leaders or women leaders who are starting out a business, if you have any go-to advice for them.
So normally, I don't share some advice to any people because I always feel everybody has their journey and experienced journey is your life. But I just like share my story. For 2023, I pick up a word for myself, honesty. So my friends ask me, why you pick up the word honesty for 2023? So as a female CEO, as a woman, as a mom, as a daughter, honest to myself means a lot. Means when I talk to you, Suhan, what I think, what I share with you, there is not two sides of Mary. There is only one person, one real human being sit in front of you. I'm also want to be honest to myself. And honest to myself, I accept my weakness. I accept how I look. Accept my body, my emotion. Sometimes I'm angry. Sometimes I cry. And sometimes I'm happy. Accept myself and accept I have the talents to compete, to work on a perfect product platform. That's give myself huge relief. When I pick up the board, I suddenly feel I'm really, really happy because finally, I'm myself. I'm satisfied for someone. I'm satisfied for my team. I'm disappointed for someone because I don't look like what they expect. That's one thing. I think a lot of female leaders, a lot of girls, women, they are struggling for satisfied with the world. They are struggling for whether I'm good enough. They're struggling blaming themselves. So I blame myself before all the time. I feel like, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm a loser. Why I'm angry? Why I cannot manage it well? Underestimate myself, becoming my issue for longer time. Until I figure out the word honesty, I'm honest to myself and to my teams and to the people around me. I'm relieved. If that's a piece of advice for all the women in the world, especially for female leaders, I hope they could be more confident.
That's a great advice. And I also think that's a really great practice to pick a word for the year. Do you do that every year?
Yes, I normally do it every year. So I set up a resolutions for myself every year. So I normally like to read novels. I was so happy when I was reading a novel in my balcony, especially Norwegian's Wood, 1Q84. I could see two moons on the sky. Yeah, that's me. But when I set up a 2022's resolution, my daughter discussed with me and she said, "Mom, you need to read some business things. You need to be a little bit practical, increase your skills." I said, "Yeah, but I don't like it." "You have to do something you don't like." So this year, unfortunately, I have to give up lots of interesting novels I like and listen to industry podcasts, read other research reports. That's one of my resolution. Second, my resolution, because I'm single, so I don't have time to date. So my daughter said, "Mom, could you set up, you could date 12 times this year?" So open your mind. I said, that's the biggest challenge for me. So far, I haven't done that. So I might set up again for next year. Yeah, try to have more dates and try to open myself to the world.
Your daughter is very wise.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think with that, I think we've reached the end of the podcast. Mary, thank you so much for being so honest. Really appreciate that. It's been a very honest session.
Oh, really?
Very refreshing.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, subscribe or follow this show. You can also find 2C2P on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Twitter. To read more about this conversation, go to 2c2p.com/blog.